Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope that you're doing well. We're pleased to be able to bring you another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh, and we're thankful that you decided to join us today. Before we get into this week's episode, I'd like to remind you that if you like what you hear, please, please, please go to Apple Podcasts and read our podcast and leave us a comment or two. We would definitely appreciate that. Now, without further delay, we're going to go ahead and get this thing rolling, man. I'd like to introduce my partner, who is a connoisseur of all things cultural. He's my partner. Podcast crime. Reg, what is the deal pimping?
Fresh, I hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, brother. What's good with you?
Man, you know, world gone mad again, man. You know how this shit goes, man. It's,
that's another day.
Man, I mean, it's you know, we've been out the box for a minute, man. Had some shit to do.
Sure has some.
Coming down the line on this NBA thing, man. You know, it's about to be a wrap on that shit.
Yes, sir. Got your cap and gown.
Yeah, man. And got a lot of outside ventures going on, and which brings me to our sponsor, who is Posh Premium Ale. It's Georgia's own peach-infused beer, and it's luxurious to taste. Everybody loves it so far who's tasted it. You need to go out and ask for that shit, man. If you don't see it in your local grocery store, if you don't see it at your gas station where you get your gas, man, ask for it by name. So we can get this stuff spreaded out, man, as much as possible. It's a good brand, black-owned company. Let's help them do some numbers. Y'all with that? That's what's up.
There it is.
That's what's up, man. So, man, we're going to get right off into this shit, man, because shit's been on my mind, man. I know shit's been on yours, too, man. Like I said, we've been out of pocket for about a good month or so.
Yeah.
But, you know, we decided long ago that we weren't going to do episodes just for the sake of doing episodes and shit. That we were going to try to be more impactful with everything that we did and with our subject matter content and shit like that. So, and this is in that particular vein because, you know, we wanted to wait a little bit because a lot of y'all are not talking about the trial that happened with the crooked ass cop who killed both of John. And, you know, we figured that we'd let it marinate a little bit because we know how y'all do, man. Get all excited about some shit.
Get so emotional.
Get all over the place with it. And then next thing you know, y'all talking about lashes and bundles and shit. So, we wanted to bring that shit back, man, because there's some really good points to ponder on that. And, we really need to talk about it, man. And just to recap, this crazy bitch, man, rolled up in this dude's apartment and basically capped him while he was eating a bowl of ice cream.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just thought that she was in the wrong apartment. I mean, and my thing is, man, I have been drunk as fuck before. You know what I'm saying? I've never stumbled into a place where I didn't know where the fuck I was.
Yeah, I mean, clearly it was a cover up.
Yeah, it was a cover up, man. I mean, you know, the way the whole thing was handled, it was crazy, man. But there's certain issues that everybody by now knows that, you know, she got a light ass sentence. Probably gonna be out in about a nickel.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Dude, she won't do a dime. She need to get beat up while she's in there at least a couple times.
Yeah, she need to get roughened up a little bit now.
So, everybody knows this shit was a sham. Yeah, everybody knows this shit was a sham. But you know, some things that came out about that particular case just really boggles my mind, man. Starting with the fact that, well, let's just put it out there. A couple flashpoints during the trial, however you want to say it. A couple flashpoints, man. One being the treatment of the murderer by the victim's family, and also by the judge, and also by the freaking bailiff.
Dude.
You know, I mean,
straight buffoonery.
I need to temper what I'm going to say because, you know, I was already flaming on social media once before because, you know, you made a comment about
I called her something
that was
Sambo Mammy.
Sambo.
Okay. And actually subsequently I saw a hashtag that said Mammy Tammy is a hashtag going around.
So you wasn't the only one that thought this shit, basically.
I mean, I'm just saying. And sometimes you have to be... You have to be honest with yourself, even if you know the person. If they're acting in a way that is unprofessional, if anything else.
At the very least. I mean, that's the very least.
Right. I mean, we ain't talking...
You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, outside of just the simple fact that, you know, she's hugging a murderer, you know, at that, is unprofessional in nature. And so, if you know the person, or if you have any type of affiliation with the person, it's still okay to say, hey, you know what, that looks a little crazy. I know her, but this is a bad look. Yeah, she's really a good person, but it's a bad look.
It's a bad look. And the thing is that, I mean, and we talk about this shit all the time. Just because you see some shit that's out of line doesn't necessarily mean that that's the way that the person is all the time. However, I think that it increased the way that, you know, the bad way that this looked because of the fact that she's endorsed by, you know, the police department, yeah, you know, things like that. So it was just really bad all the way around. So, right. And when you're dealing with a time and place where we're basically being killed on camera or being killed in front of the world to see, it's not something that is, you know, it's not something that we should take lightly, you know, for someone that is supposed to uphold the law to show partiality to the person that has just been convicted. There's no way that you could put a positive spin on that. Because regardless of what you say, oh, it's the godly thing to do, and it's like, you gotta think too, man. Not everybody believes in fucking God. Not everybody believes that shit. I know that, you know, we're supposed to be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, the fact of the matter is that we haven't been given liberty, we haven't been given justice, and it's not for everybody.
That's so correct. So
you know, to be a judge and to do some shit like that was really ass backwards, man. You know, we had somebody, because you know when you said that shit, you had somebody, you know, talk about, you know, you should be, I'm tired of men disrespecting black women. And it was just really kind of off base because you would have definitely, I mean, I know you well enough to know that if it was a white judge, you would have made a similar type of comment, but just of the appropriate variety. This shit was inappropriate.
Right.
And so, you know, then I jumped in and I said some shit, man. And you know, this chick is crazy. Whoever was commenting on her, I was gonna shout her out and tell her to, you know, to go to her YouTube channel and check out her makeup stuff, but you know, she already looked like her makeup wasn't really that good, so I just like, I was gonna shout her out. But
yeah, I mean, I know the person, she's a good person.
She can't be that good of a person, man. Because she's crazy.
Just a different opinion, man.
Because she was calling motherfuckers ignorant and all this other shit. It's different when you want to take it personally. You know, when you want to get personal.
Not against her, but what this also shows from that situation, Fresh, is where, and this is what a lot of people who say stay on code, right? This is about, this is a racial matter, okay?
It's definitely a racial matter. The whole murder
in the trial is a racial, you know, there are racial tensions, what have you. So my comment was racial.
And it's in Texas.
Right.
I mean, come on,
and,
man.
And so on top of that, now why do you make it a gender issue?
Right.
No one's attacking women.
Because had it been a black man, you would have made the same type of comment.
I would have called him a Uncle Tom. Whatever
it is.
You know, and it's not about name calling. And perhaps in those cases, I can say things differently, but I call it how I see it. And I think a lot of people did so as well. And that judge she's been on a tour actually lately, explaining her situations as far
man,
as
you
what,
can, you can,
what
you,
has happened,
yeah, man,
and why, you know, she said that the Amy asked her for a hug and she, you know, gave her all this. I don't even know how to put it, man. It's in certain situations, you. Why are you hugging the murderer? if someone asks for a hug, it's like being fired from your job and saying,
well, can I have a hug?
Can I have a hug, employer? You just fired me. The employer, I don't care how well you know him or her, is not going to, you know, there's just certain, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. And why do we always have to be the group, you know, the group of people who are so forgiving? I mean, look at the brother, how he almost ran into her like the Titanic. You know, like Jack, like he was hugging. It's like Jack and Rose. It's
I wanted to address that. I'm going to go ahead and let you finish, but I'm going to address that too. Go ahead, man.
I mean, you just have to look at the buffoonery of the entire court. It was just complete mayhem. The bailiff, and you probably touch on that. She claims that the bailiff was checking her for contrabands. You don't check for contraband. First of all, the lady didn't have on gloves. And then secondly, you don't go. I mean,
That should have been done before she entered the courtroom.
Either before the courtroom or as they are getting processed for, you know, for sentencing, you know, through jail. That, to my understanding, they go, you know, disrobe completely, et cetera, et cetera. And please, let's stop falling for this, you know, just because that's her answer to the questions. I was listening to Tom Joyner, and I think they were a little skeptic of her, and Roland had interviewed her. She gave those same little answers, and then Tom says, this is just me talking, but I listened to Tom Joyner, but I had to disagree with him in that he said, hey, I feel better about it now. The judge answered the question. Dude, look into what her answers were. It's clearly a cover-up. It's clearly something that she's just trying to explain, okay? There's no way that bailiff was checking for her for contrabands. For her to hug her like that, come on. Give me a break. Stop being this forgiving people all the time. Will you forgive someone who just murdered your brother? Now, forgiveness is something that comes from the individual. I can't explain that for the individual as far as what forgiveness is. But if you're going to do that, if you want to hug her, if you want to embrace her, you do that in the privacy of your chambers, Miss Judge. You don't do that publicly because that gives the whole persona, the whole image that is really, you know, look what happened. And not to jump ahead, but something happened 2 weeks later in Fort Worth, next door to Dallas, that pretty much deputized a race soldier to murder another sister out here in her home. So we have to think about the ramifications of what we may do to show our softness, our weakness to the system. Oh, you know what? They hugging murderers now? They hugging, you know, officers? Oh, right. We good.
Right. So, you know, my thing, man, that I wanted to say about, first of all, about the guy's brother. I'm not one that's going to try to legislate how somebody grieves or how they actually cope with that.
Right.
And that's kind of where I'm going to leave that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, if anybody's going to get a pass, it's going to be the brother. Because of the fact that we don't know how close he was to his brother. We don't know how it's affected his family. We don't know, you know, grief is a motherfucker, man. Like I said, I've been through it. I've been open about the things I've had to go through after losing my mother. So it's like, I don't necessarily fault him for that. Did it look bad? Yeah, it still looked bad. But again, if anybody gets a pass, he gets a pass. Second of all, as far as the young lady fixing her hair, that's just some coon shit to me, bro. I mean, I can't put it no other way. I don't know
how you can't see it differently.
It's some coon shit. And then with the judge, man, I mean, there's just no place for it. I mean, there is. I don't care if you know the lady. I don't care if you're in the same sorority with the lady. I don't give a fuck about any of that shit. If you support that shit, you a fucking coon too.
There you go.
Because it just doesn't make sense. When we're out here at war, literally being exterminated every fucking day, and people that are put in positions to ensure that justice, that the scales of justice are balanced, are doing shit like this. It's just not a good look. There's nothing that you can say to me that's going to make me think that this shit is right in any capacity. whether she's white, whether she's black, male, female.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It's not right under any circumstance. And especially when there's a racial undertone to something, you don't take your black ass over to this white bitch and start hugging her. That's just not what you do. I mean, so at the very least, you're unprofessional and stupid at the same time. You know, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, you go to law school and you go through the ranks and you become, an appointed or elected judge. That's a high responsibility. You're supposed to have enough wherewithal to understand that I shouldn't do this type of shit.
Right.
I don't give a fuck if the girl said, oh, please, can I hug you? I don't give a fuck if she thought you were Jesus and said, if I could just touch the hem of your robe.
Right.
I don't give a fuck. You don't do it. You don't do it. You just don't do it. And it's some coonery. It's some, what would you call a black mammy, Sammy?
Sambo mammy.
Sambo mammy. She's all that.
And I do not retract.
She's all that.
I do not retract that. I would call, look, if it's fresh, if it was you, I'd be like, dude,
that's straight some cool shit,
bro. Yeah. I'm just saying.
What I would expect.
I probably wouldn't put you out there like that, but I would pull you to the side like, dude.
What the fuck are you doing?
What are you doing?
It's crazy.
This is a bad look for the whole nation, man.
Right.
I mean, you know,
from that particular position, it would be a different story. It'd be a different story if it's her attorney. If her attorney is a black woman and she's like, oh, yeah, you got this dime. Let me hug you. It's good to, you know, good luck to you. Whatever, whatever. If it's her attorney and her attorney's black or something, then OK, fine. You know, because that's at least they probably have some type of personal relationship. It's the attorney's job to get her off, to get her less time. Or, you know, or whatever the case may be. I can dig that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. I could rock with that. But when you are there in a position to where you are supposed to be sure that justice is served in a manner that it is not tilted in favor of one against the other, it is a bad look.
And she already got 10 years at that. I mean, we already, you know, starting it at negative.
Right.
And then you're going
to do some shit like that.
Show this shit like this, man. It's
crazy, man. The little crazy chick that was on your timeline, man, mentioned that it was the judge that something to the effect that she prevented it from being moved to a different area where it was more white people or some shit like that or whatever. Okay, that's fine, but it's still a bad look. It doesn't matter.
Right.
None of that shit matters. At the end of the day, this was some coon shit. Coon shit. I mean, it was just coon shit. Now, I'm going to address one other thing real quick, man. There's some people out here on social media, man, that were talking about the victim. They posted pictures of him, you know, with his friends, and, you know, the majority of them were white. Uh-huh. And this, that, and the third. And they were like, oh, yeah, you know, he loved them white people anyway. Da, 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 da. I mean, just some real sick shit, bro. That's sick to me because it doesn't matter if all of your friends are white or not, or even if you think that you are above certain things. You got to think. Culturally speaking, man, and this is what I notice. People that come from other countries, other cultures, and they come here, they try to assimilate. You know what I'm saying? You don't see a lot of them coming over here and, you know, and hollering black power. You don't really see that shit.
Right, right, right.
You don't see it. So assimilation is part of their struggle because they are normally coming from worse circumstances than what we have and trying to fit in and trying to be so mentally they may not be in a position where, especially this dude's real, real young too. He hadn't really experienced a lot. He's a young, young cat. He hasn't really experienced enough to understand the depths of the shit that he was in. That's my belief. And, you know, when you're working for, you know, this large accounting firm and you're doing all this, the people that you are going to associate with are white.
Right.
That's what you're going to see. You know, but by all accounts, the guy was a good dude. You know, he was a churchgoer. Not that that means, you know, a whole lot to a lot of people, but he seemed to be doing the right things with his life. Smoked a little weed from time to time, but hey, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, right.
And so what, he had white friends. I found that to be kind of distasteful that people would put that out there, because at the end of the day, when the rubber met the road, he was just another nigga.
Right.
Still, you see what I'm saying?
Still nigga.
You see what I'm saying? So that's what people lose. That, you know, okay, yeah, I know people that claim to be pro-black, but are grinning up in white people's faces all day at these 9-to-5s trying to get ahead.
Right.
So, you know, what do you really say? I mean, you black as hell. You got black ass wife.
black ass kids, mama black, daddy black, everybody black. You straight from the motherfucking fields of Florida. You know what I'm saying? But yet you grinning up in these people's faces all day, trying to get an extra $5,000 or $6,000 a year.
Skinning and grinning.
You see what I'm saying? So like that doesn't really jive to me. So I was really disappointed because the person who posted that shit, I'm not even gonna give him any shine because, you know, it's kind of borderline disrespectful at this particular point. But it's somebody that I follow on Instagram, and
okay,
and he makes a lot of sense about a lot of black issues. But on this shit right here, it's just really wrong. It's just really wrong and distasteful. I won't say in theory, he may have been right, but you don't really know because the guy's dead.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But in principle, it's absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong.
I agree. Let me ask you. Actually, we talked about this when it happened a year ago, last September.
Yeah.
We had an episode where we included this. And I think at the time, it was said that maybe they were dating or something, or he knew her. Let me ask you, because I really don't know. Has anything surfaced since the trial that maybe they do know each other, or is speculation that it was something from a personal vendetta?
Not that I've read.
Okay, I hadn't either.
Because honestly, what I had been paying attention to more was the shit that came out after that, as far as the witness goes.
Oh yeah.
So that just kind of I didn't really. If anybody has heard anything, please feel free to tag us on it on social media networks or whatnot. But with the key witness, or as they call it, the key witness, end up getting shot up. You know, and it's one of the things where it just looks so bad, man. And I'm not even willing to give that particular police department the benefit of the doubt at this particular point. There's nothing going on down in Texas that's going to make me think that anybody's on the up and up right now.
I mean, the history of that city's officers, the whole law enforcement is really suspect anyway.
Right.
So it's just hard. I mean, those of you who have heard me through episodes know how I feel about certain things anyway, in certain groups. So some say it's conspiracy theorism, whatever. But
there's some brazen with it at this particular point.
If it quacks like a duck, I'm just so quick to call it a damn duck.
Right.
And if you see, that's why it's just so important that we... You know, it becomes almost like a cliche to say stay on code.
Right.
And what stay on code really means is that you have developed a mindset of, in this particular case, that black empowerment, that black people, black Americans specifically, mean and should come first in your thinking. Doesn't mean that you hate other people or whatever, or other groups. But that you need to take care of your own first and think of things firstly for your people.
And that's why when you see a black judge hug a white murderer, a black family who's been a victim hug a white murderer, when you see a black bailiff combing out a white murderer's hair, that's what we're talking about. That's why this shit is such a bad look. Because if you are on code, if you are on code, that shit doesn't enter your mind.
Right, right.
It doesn't enter your mind. Whether or not spiritually or within your spiritual being, you come to forgive her if you're a victim. You know, if this young lady's taking your family member. Spiritually speaking, if you come to the realization that, hey, look, I can't live my life with me having this type of feeling.
Just weight on me, yeah.
Yeah, reconcile that. That's fine. That's fine, right, too. Right, that's fine to forgive. Nobody's saying that it's not right to forgive.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? That's not what we're saying. It may not be the way that we even handle this shit, but nobody's saying that it's wrong for the guy to say, okay, I forgive you. I want you to give your life to Christ or whatever. I mean, okay, that's him.
Right.
And if that's his spiritual walk, then, man, that's then on him. That's on him.
Yeah.
But if you are truly on code, that is something that you do in private.
And we also have to think about,
that's something that you may have just decided in your head, but that don't necessarily mean you got to say shit about it.
Exactly.
You just go on like, oh, she's nothing. She got to do that bid.
Right.
I'm not even thinking about it. There's no more energy going that way.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, so it's he didn't have to do that shit. But again, if anybody gets a pass, he gets the pass.
Wouldn't
if there's a pass to be given?
Wasn't Attorney Crump on this case? Wasn't he in there? We have to also think about the system, how the system works together. All you know, all the pieces that go that goes into the verdict. You know, the whole trial, the convictions, that steps A through Z. And let's be very cognizant as well of some of these same attorneys who, you know, showboat the victims' families. And if you think about it, they don't really win shit. A lot of them, like, really, if you say, all right, everyone has their own view of, like, justice was served. Like, that's a subjective thing. And somebody might say, oh yeah, justice was served because she was convicted of murder, because I think it originally it was manslaughter, then they changed it to murder. So someone may say, oh, that's a win right there. So it's varying levels of what someone may say is a win. But you have to really think, some of these attorneys are a little shady, man. I mean, they get the family monies at the end of the day, I believe, but they don't really win shit, man. They don't really, yeah. I mean, you know, this could have been a prime time for this race soldier to go to prison for life. You think about it. I mean, personally, I think if you kill someone in murder and it's not self-defense, it's some bullshit thing, and she's on stand and saying, oh, you know, she's crying and saying that he was a. She even said he was an innocent man or whatever, which I thought was her nail in the coffin for her to at least have some type of sentencing verdict.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you murder someone and it is not in self-defense, goddamn it, life. It's like life for life, man. It's the whole eye for an eye. I mean, you know, not to go off on a tangent, but seriously, it's we have to think about the entire process and where do black people fit in the conversation of how we're being treated or, you know, and mistreated in these cases.
That's the thing. We don't look at it. From and I say we, I'm because I know there's some people that are just as hot about this shit as we are. So, but when I say we, I just mean as a whole. This is just how the shit shakes out. We aren't really worried about us,
right?
We are worried about we worried about me individually and shit. So,
yep.
Whenever shit like this comes out, that's where we start to show our fragmentation. That's where we start to show our disjointed nature when it comes to unity, because
that's true.
You know, we can't, I mean, even on social media, man, we can't even really, you know, you got the coons that'll come out and they start preaching all this God bullshit and this, that, and the third, and don't understand that, you know, that you could be next. You know, this shit is survival.
Any of us, man.
It is survival. And I don't understand. There is nothing, there is no spiritual walk that I'm ever going to adopt that's going to make me think that it's okay to come up and shoot another black man that's sitting in his drawers eating ice cream, and I'm going to be okay with that shit. It's just, the shit ain't going to happen.
Right.
There's no spiritual walk that I'm going to be on where I'm going to think it's okay for you to shoot a black woman through a window without even trying to find, without doing your job, where you just start firing through a fucking window. There's no spiritual walk that I'm going to be on where it's going to be okay to choke a black man to death in the middle of the street in broad daylight. There's no spiritual walk that I'm going to be on where you think it's okay to shoot a young black man in the face and leave him on a hot ass sidewalk in the middle of the summer in Missouri and let his body bake in the fucking street.
Yeah.
There's no walk that I'm going to be on that's going to make that shit okay for me to say, okay, yeah, I forgive you. You know, where we need to be is, there's definitely not going to be a spiritual walk that I'm going to be on where I'm going to turn a blind eye to a young child being shot in 2 seconds because a cop thought he had a gun. So when it's a toy gun,
to mirror.
Yeah, there's not enough spirituality that you could spread on me or pour on me. There's not enough fucking anointing in the world that is going to make me think that that shit is okay. And it's not going to make me think that you can be forgiven for that shit. I'm not hugging you after that shit. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
black people need to get their shit together, man. It's like, you know, there is, man, Baldwin was right, man. And like I said, I don't know the quote, you know, verbatim, but it's like, yeah, to be black is to be in a constant state of rage. You know what I'm saying? And if you're not, there's something fucking wrong with you. You know, that doesn't mean when raging doesn't necessarily mean going out and destroying shit. But rage, it can also manifest itself in the way that you approach your everyday life, the decisions that you make, the code that you are supposed to follow. That's part of the rage. The part of the rage is getting on code.
Yeah. And the rage is the challenge of dismantling the prison that we live in.
Right.
Instead of trying to collaborate all the damn time, there's ways and strategies. Look, we're all prisoners. We all trying to figure out what's the best way to deal with this oppression. You got people.
But that's just it, man. Motherfuckers are not. They're not. They are content. They are content.
Well, I mean,
to constantly get the crumbs. They're okay with that.
Right.
And I'm gonna tell you why. I'm gonna tell you why people are okay with that. And I'm going to tell you why.
Tell me why.
Look at the way that we treat each other when it comes to business endeavors. You know what I'm saying? We're still part of the biggest boycott in history. Our own businesses. Right?
Okay.
Because if you were not just happy with the crumbs that these white people are giving you, you would be trying to help your brothers and sisters build their businesses. You see what I'm saying? Because now empowerment is not even in your mentality. You can't even think like that.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You want that safe ass 9-to-5. You know, trade basically a third of your life away every day for whatever little check that you get that can be taken away from you the next day that you walk in. That's why I know motherfuckers ain't ready.
You're right. Power has to be assumed, has to be taken. And to your point, we didn't grow up that way. We don't have the mentality. We don't understand power when we get it. When we have it, we don't know we have it. And when we think we can get it, we question, I don't know if we, right. Well, I mean, it's unfortunately because of how the system has been set up for us, if you will, that has been a crutch. It's not an excuse, but it's still a crutch. So if you are a prisoner in the system, well, then it's set up for you for that purpose. Some prisoners get it. A lot of prisoners don't. And that's what I'm saying. It's different strategies. You got people, that's why we call each other, sometimes we say, oh, he cooning or she cooning, whatever, is because, wait a minute, hold on, y'all ain't getting it. We trying to break out this shit. We trying to help each other. We trying to do something empowering. What are you doing? You know, you keeping us stabilized.
Right.
I mean, we ain't moving nowhere with you.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Now, to another point, and this is another reason why, and we're going to get to, what's his name, Joshua Brown. We're going to get to that in a second, but this is another reason why I don't like life coaches.
You don't like life coaches?
Man, I think that is crazy, man, because what a life coach is trying to teach you is how to cope with the bullshit that you exist in. You know, I will patronize the life coach that is going to come out and say how to be black as fuck in a white ass world. Let me show you. You understand what I'm saying? That's why I think this whole life coach shit is a fucking scam. I feel like that, you know, when I say a scam, I don't mean a scam because there are people that let me retract that. I don't think it's a scam. What I think it is that I don't think that it's useful to people that are Afrocentric. I don't think it's useful for people that think black first, because the techniques that people are trying to teach people are techniques of assimilation. They're not techniques of freedom and independence and, you know, preservation and things like that. You're looking at, you know, giving somebody money to, help you cope with the bullshit you got going on at your job?
Well,
or, you know, I just don't get it, man.
Essentially, they're like a therapist too. So, but don't you?
You need to go to a real therapist if you're going to a therapist.
Okay, but some life coaches are therapists. They just call themselves life coaches. I'm just drawing the.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just going by the shit that I hear that I see on social media. Like, let's put it like that. I mean, the most people that I see on social media, they get some kind of certification. You're a certified life coach. How the fuck do you become certified in life? That is some think about this. I'm certified in life.
Yeah, hey,
I mean, no, bro. No, I mean, I'm joking, but I'm serious as fuck, though.
I hear what you're saying.
I mean, how do you become certified in life?
Cat Williams said, "How can you have a self help book? It's self help, goddammit."
Right. I mean,
what are you talking about self help?
You know, I just feel like, I mean, my whole point, the reason why I talk about that is because, like I said, in this day and time, we need to be thinking about black people, black shit, black goals, black culture, black family. And that's what we need to be talking about.
And someone asked why, maybe? Think of those who need the most help. I'll just say that.
Everybody else on code except us. Not even that. Everybody else on code except us. That's why the system is like it is.
Yeah.
Because the motherfuckers on code. It's not even something that has to be debated. These motherfuckers are on code.
It has to follow you through all that you do, too. It's tough. I mean, it's, you know, it may be challenging to me and Fresh and others or whatever. But you just have to have the mindset.
Yeah, life coach, just hit me up if you are black as fuck life coach. If you talk how to be black as fuck in a white ass world, I'm buying that book. The life coach that comes out with a book that says how to be black as fuck in a white ass world.
Okay,
I will buy that book. I don't give a fuck if it's just $50. I'm purchasing that particular book because all this other bullshit out there, man. Like I said, it's how to cope with white people. That's what it is. How to cope with white people. Not how to take power. Not how to be powerful. Not how to exert your power. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, good luck with that.
I know. That's all I'm saying. That was my only point.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to all the life coaches. I think we've had a couple of them on the show too.
Shout out to
the life coaches. Yeah. I mean, no, but seriously though, there are some instances where you do need, you know, people to help you through stuff like, you know, through relationships, you know, certain segments of life that you need help with from people with experience. But what I'm saying overall is not to shit on life coaches, but what I'm saying is that when you look at it from a broad perspective, you really can't coach somebody at life because you're not an expert on life. You may be a subject matter expert, you know, as far as relationships or education, or you may be a subject matter expert on, you know, substance abuse, or you may be you know, mental health or something like that. You may be an expert in that particular area, but for you to be able to coach somebody through life is that's a real audacious shit. And I'm just like, you know, you got some big nuts to put them out like that and be like, I'm a coach.
I understand. And you know where what I'm thinking about as you say this, most of our, I'll just say, master teachers or people who have a public ear or voice that have your public ear, is that what I find interesting that they say is two things. Either I'm not your leader, which means I'm still learning this thing. Well, that's the second part, is I'm still learning.
Right.
I'm still learning. I'm in this thing with you. I don't care if I got a million followers on social media to your 1,000. I'm in this boat with you. And so I'm not going to be your leader. And so that's to what you're saying with a life coach. They hadn't really figured it out, and hopefully the ones that call themselves life coaches aren't arrogant enough to think that they do. But they should, you know, they should say, it should be a point of like, hey, I don't have all the answers. Let's figure this thing out together.
And that's what I'm saying. You can be a subject matter expert.
Right.
You know, for certain aspects of life. So, you know, and like, I mean, I went off on a tangent and was talking a bunch of shit. I'm probably going to get some calls and get unfollowed by some people. But no, I mean, you know, y'all know what the fuck I'm saying. If you take it personally, then yeah, I was talking about you. But let's roll on, man. We really got off on tangent on this shit. Let's talk about Joshua Brown, man. Let's talk about the
witness in the box.
The witness, yeah, man. Let's talk about that shit, man. We got just a few more minutes left. Just give me your brief thoughts on that shit, because everybody that I saw on social media is saying this has this. It just screams setup.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I agree. I agree that it's, I mean, you know, it's too obvious to where if you're going against the system. I mean, here's a brother that they probably, they had enough on him. I think he had some record, right? He had some records of maybe dealings with the wrong crowd, maybe through drugs. I'm not sure. Maybe you can correct me, but they
pulled out a bunch of mugshots after he was dead.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying, if that's the case, why are you not even? Why is? I mean, my whole thing is this: what defense attorney? Because I mean, now she's gonna be now the old murdering ass bitch is probably gonna be like, I wasn't represented properly. They didn't even bring this up. You know, if I had incompetent counsel, I need a retrial or something like this. Because think about it: what defense counsel is not going to thoroughly investigate a witness and figure out that, oh yeah, this dude has all kind of records? I haven't read the entire court transcript, so perhaps it's in there.
Right.
But it normally, the American media is quick to throw a black man's record up on TV. So
quickly. So, and his family.
Right.
And
so that. I'm just saying, so I didn't hear about it until after it got passed. So
yeah,
I'm thinking like, okay, incompetent counsel on, you know, for her. That's enough to have some shit appealed. And you know, and I'm not a legal eagle or anything like that. So I'm just speaking. I mean, this is my Law and Order from USA Network reasoning coming in. So lawyers out there, feel free to correct me, because I'm just, you know, we just talking shit because that's what a podcast does. But it seems like there's some loopholes for her to be able to appeal some shit. If and like I said, lawyers out there, especially in the state of Texas, because we got a pretty decent following in Texas. If that's not the case, then hit us on the text line 704-946-6060. But who the hell doesn't pull the records of people, do the research on the people to try to attack the credibility? Because to me, that'd be the first thing that you'd put up. Like, look, this guy pushes more weight than the motherfucking.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you gonna trust this guy? You know what I'm saying? He's had cases that he's trying to get done. You know, so you don't know what his motivation is, because he's this or he's that. He's this or he's that.
Yeah.
You know, I would have taken that than snuffing him out on the back end.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? At least you would have had something to be like, you know, that's, you know, it could have been plausible.
Right.
But for you to kill him on the back end, I mean, and at this particular point, man, police department gets no credit. They get no benefit of the doubt. They get nothing. So that's what we say, man. I mean, at least that's what I say. I mean, y'all killed him.
I mean, it's pretty obvious. It's pretty obvious, man. I mean, it's like an episode of House of Cards, man, where, you know, witnesses go missing, and, you know, any drama TV show where it's like, you know, in the whole drug situation that they said that the guys that came, you know, they came from Louisiana, and, you know, how they traveled, they got through some a gated community. I mean, it seems
kind of crazy.
Phony, man. It's a little phony.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you might travel that way for some powder.
Right.
But for some weed?
Some weed. You know, you're coming from a legalized state to a non-legalized. I mean,
to where you can get that much the amount of weed that they were trying to buy around the corner.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we see the bullshit, and you know, what can we do about it? It's just like the whole Amy Geiger case. What can you do about it? You know.
Yeah.
You see it, but it should, all this stuff should strengthen us. The cold piece that Fresh was talking about earlier, that is situations like this where we should step back and say, okay, what is it that we really need to do to protect ourselves against the system? Sometimes you can only do your best, but right. It should be in your mind. It should be a part of your paramount in your thinking all the time, and instead of being weak and powerless.
Right. So man, let me just say this, man. First off, let me get this piece in here before I forget it. In addition to Apple Podcasts, the podcast is now on Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and CastBox, with some more outlets to come in the future. Also on Urban Beats Radio 2. That's an online radio station. Be sure you check that out. Show that young lady some love. She's a young black entrepreneur trying to do a thing on internet radio. Happy to be a part of that particular team. You can also connect with us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at ICBW Podcast. That's at ICBW Podcast. Be sure to like, comment, follow, subscribe. You can also check out our website at icbwpodcast.com. Be sure you pick up on our fly ass shirts that are out, got our faces on it. Dope as fuck. We still got some shit coming later on in the year too, or actually first of the year too. And we appreciate your support in advance. So in closing, man, what I want to say is this. And if y'all didn't like anything else that I said, you know, for, you know, the past 40 something minutes, if you're pissed off, you know, if you're mad because, you know, we said this or that about this person, that person, or whatever, life coaches, whatever the fuck you mad at, listen to this shit right here. Because we're at a point now where we have to decide what we want to do. We've been past the point. It's like, do you want a real revolution or do you just want to be mad? You know, and emotionally speaking, everybody wants to strike back. You know, you want to protect yourself. You know, I'm a pro Second Amendment dude. Get as many motherfucking guns as you can before you can't get any. You know, I said once before, I'm in one of the first 4 or 5 episodes, we said, man, fuck being unarmed. That is not something that you want to do.
Yeah.
It's part of the code, man. Being able to defend yourself against the system of white supremacy, especially when you come face to face with it in a physical nature. But we're at a point where, what do you really want to do? You know, do you want to bitch about it? Or do you want to really do something about it? You know, I have always been of the mindset that, man, you meet force with force. But in this particular case, man, you know, everybody wants heaven, but don't nobody really want to die. Everybody wants revolution, but nobody really wants to be the first casualty either. So, okay, I understand that. And I understand that. Okay. We don't need no more loss of life, man. They're killing enough of us. Okay. You know, we're losing too many people as it is. The system is set up for us to die in droves and in multitudes every single day. That's how the system is set up. And that's what we've fallen into. So we need to make a decision as to what we really want to do collectively. And I know that's a big fucking word. It's not even really that big when you write it down, but when you try to live it, it's an enormous word. It's an enormous undertaking because it requires you to trust your brother, to trust your sister, to support your brother, to support your sister. It's such a big word that we have a hard time even understanding the magnitude of it. We can't see the end of it. We can't see the end result because we are so beaten down and downtrodden from history. It's historical. We don't have to have a history lesson, but we know. We can't even understand how collectivism can really benefit us. So what I'm asking you right now is, what do you really want to do? Do you want to take that chance on collectivism, or do you want to take that chance on rolling solo? Because niggas are dying out here rolling solo, bro. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and more so rolling solo with the I made it by myself, or I got mine, you get yours.
It's time solo. Out for that shit. It's because time out for that.
The only thing I'll say, and I agree totally with you, is it's an individual. You got to get yourself straight first, and then you roll collectively. Right. So you get...
You can't have a whole bunch of motherfuckers don't know where they're going.
Right. So you can't just automatically roll collectively. You got to get individually, you have to get straight for you. Get your shit together.
Right.
You know, get yourself together. And then you find like-minded individuals and you roll. It doesn't have to be a kumbaya million people. It can be 300-500 people. It can be that group that can get shit done. That's the thing, is, man, getting it done.
Let me tell you, man, you know, before we roll out, it could be as simple as, you know, having a black investment group, buying pieces of real estate.
Right.
Having your own car lot. You know, like Posh Premium Ale, making your own beer.
Constructive.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, get into these markets, because money talks. That's why, you know, and we understand that. That's why we talk about this shit. You know, get into businesses that are going to benefit you, that are going to get you into sectors that are historically white. You know, get a group of people together and buy a service station, then buy another one. Get a group of people together that are well-to-do and, you know, get your net worth up and buy a hotel. start doing things that are going to move us forward, that 50 years from now, the growth will ensure that we're still around, because economically speaking, if we don't get this shit together, we're not going to be around. That's just what it is. So, man. But anyway, we appreciate y'all hanging out with us today, man. If you want to hit us up on the text line or leave us a voicemail, 704-946-6060, 704-946-6060. We appreciate y'all, man.
Be good, be safe, and behave, brother.
We out.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest anew and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture, and we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass judge decides the fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say, and since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you.
You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.